I had the opportunity to go to the Science Gallery at Trinity College to see their new exhibit called Life at the Edges. This exhibit opened June 22nd of 2018, and it will stay open until the end of September of this year. Life at the Edges is an exhibit that explores Earth at its extreme spots. So there are many exhibits and art pieces that range from outer space to lava and even to the depths of the ocean. I was given a backstage tour of this exhibit while the artists and scientists were still finishing up their work, and this allowed me to see how much effort and work that the artists and scientists put into this brand new exhibit. I was able to interview two of the artists whose work will be on display in this gallery. And for more information on Life at the Edges or the Science Gallery in general, visit www.dublin.sciencegallery.com. So I'm here with Louise, and her art piece is Black Panorama. And so would you just like to describe it a little bit?
So the piece was made in collaboration with Professor Andrew Wheeler, who is a professor with UCC Cork, and he also works with iCraig, which is also down in Cork. And he, I think in the last, about 10 years ago, went to do a research survey out in the Atlantic, on the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, which was working with the Marine Institute and Celtic Explorer to look for deep sea hydrothermal vents, and his mission was called Mission Venture. And he discovered a new field of hydrothermal vents, which is the footage that you're seeing here. So he gave me this material to work with, which was amazing. So I work a lot with found material anyway, but this was a very, very unique collaborative experience for me, because this isn't just, this is somebody's research. This is, and how you kind of manage that research in an artistic way as a kind of a cinematic material is really interesting. It was really challenging for me, particularly the volume of material. It was like a lot of footage. So we used what's called an underwater ROV camera.
Okay.
Which was amazing. It's basically a camera that can withstand a huge amount of pressure. It's operated on top by the ship, and then it's sent down maybe 2 kilometers or 200 meters, and it's basically, it can withstand where humans can't. It can go where humans can't go. And what was given back to me was this huge amount of footage of basically space that we can never encounter. And the first thing I wanted to do was to create something very cinematic. Yes. In respect to
and
this.
And it is. I just, we were just looking at her piece, and the footage is beautiful. Do you want to also talk about the sound? Because you were explaining that to me earlier.
Yeah, the sound is very dreamy. Yes. It's a composition that I worked on myself. Mm-hmm. One of your obstacles, I suppose, is when you're dealing with footage, is how do you create sounds for this? What kind of experience do you want to convey through the sound? So one of the first things I wanted to do was get a sense of the, like these volcanoes, these vents do make sound underwater. Originally thought they were thought that they didn't, but it's that goes back to that notion of ocean being a silent space, which is not. It's actually an incredibly active, lively, noisy space down there. It's just because humans can't get there doesn't mean that they're not busy down there making noise themselves, all this activity. So I basically had to work with a sample that and work from that to create the piece. And then I also wanted to get a sense of weightlessness. So what you're hearing a lot is this kind of panning in and out. And one of the nice things actually about creating this kind of headbox space is it's quite warm in there.
Yes.
So it's almost slightly stifling, but I like that.
Yeah.
You know, it feels quite safe. It feels like a confession box. You could tell your confessions. See, I don't know. But yeah, I really wanted to give it kind of an immersive sense that wasn't terribly intense. Yeah. So like if we go back to something like Kubrick's work in Stargate sequences, it's really intense chorus piece, which really brings a sense of anxiety and fear. And I didn't want to do that. Yeah. Much as I wanted to do that, everyone would be pretty rattled, so I didn't want to. I really wanted to do something that instead almost made you feel comfortable in that space. So that's why it's a lot more mellow, but I've still got this kind of shepherd tone building chorus in the background. It's just very, very gentle.
Yeah, so you talk about comfort and safe space.
Yeah, I feel
is that what you want people to get out of this while also watching this incredible...
I feel that there is often in cinema spaces that are outside our limits are portrayed as very hostile.
Mm-hmm.
And that's simply... it can't be that hostile if you're still drawn to being there. So I think that sometimes it's an easy route, and I would rather kind of, you can never normalize those kind of spaces, but you can find a way in it to make us feel a little bit more relaxed about it, a little bit more like this is part of us. Because bear in mind, this is Earth, this is oceans. We know more about space, outer space now than we do about our oceans.
Mm-hmm.
Our oceans are still an unknown territory that an awful lot of us will identify symbolically with, but there's a lot of misinterpretations, particularly like sound. Mm-hmm. That there's this, that this is a really noisy space down there, and we still think it's really silent. So yeah, there's a kind of a welcomingness to it that I liked. And it was a kind of weird decision, because when you work in sound and you have footage that's already there, it's like, how do you match this?
Yes.
How do you make this?
I think
this?
You matched it perfectly.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. It works really well.
It's been a nice process.
Yeah.
It's an amazing process to work with somebody like Professor Wheeler, because you're working with somebody whose huge knowledge base, who's dedicated a huge amount of time and discovered something completely new.
Yes.
I'm lucky if I can find my car keys in the way. So I'm in awe of having an opportunity to work with somebody who's pretty... is kind of at the forefront of what we as humans are doing in terms of looking outside our limits, and also kind of respecting that too and preserving it, because that feels very much like it's something we need to be thinking of now. It's not just discovering spaces, it's how we don't, how we manage those spaces. Just because, somebody said to me before about this idea that just because there's space in the world that isn't being occupied by humans, that we still need to make a case for those spaces to exist. Just because we can't occupy them, or we can't use them, that they're still incredibly important to our Earth, holistically. That's me on my soapbox.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
It was nice talking to you.
You too.
And congrats on this.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
I am here with Danny Osborne, and his piece is called Souvenirs of the Creation. Danny, why don't you tell me a little bit about your piece and, the methods behind it?
Because there's sort of two elements to this. One is the making of the piece, and which is, I feel, is like a brilliant, deeply symbolic, artistic gesture, actually casting these pieces of sculpture from red hot, from molten lava, actually coming out of a volcano vent.
Why did you pick lava as your material to use for this piece?
Well, because briefly, about 4 billion years ago, the whole surface of the Earth was covered in lava and nothing else. And then over millions of years, as it cooled down, it metamorphosed into all the minerals and rocks and even the water, and then various life forms, including you and me. And so we've all actually come from this substance. We've sprung from this lava. So I feel when I cast some of these pieces of sculpture out of molten lava, it's like taking a mighty leap through time from the creation of the Earth to right now. And so, like when I've cast this conquistador's helmet, that was done in Guatemala from a volcano there, and I was thinking of the brutality of the conquistadors and the effect of the colonialism
that's
had on the local Mayan people, and colonialism is something I'm kind of interested in. to the effect that the British have had on Ireland. And the colonialism, and also I've worked in Hawaii quite a lot, and see the effect that American colonialism has had when they annexed Hawaii in the 1890s, and they walked in there, and it had a terrible effect on the local people. And in other parts of the world, it was the same story. So, and then, you know, there's one of the other exhibits there is some babies' milk bottles, feeding bottles. And, you know, again, it's a sort of, it's an idea you can sort of play with, and, you know, because milk nurtures things, and it's like the earth nurturing the world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so there's that connection. Yeah. I like them. I think they're very beautiful objects in themselves,
yeah,
even
the
without any bullshit attached to them. But this is my line of thought, why I actually came to that.
They all seem to have a very important significance behind them and a story. So what's something that you would like the viewers of this exhibit to take away from looking at your piece?
Well, they can make connections from lava to the way things have developed over millions and millions of years that we've all slowly developed into these things. And there's a Bible there as well, which I just cast before Christmas, in fact. But at the same time, I feel it's got a strong artistic gesture, actually. It's almost like a performance going to the volcano and catching the lava as it comes out of the vent, which you can see in some bits in this movie, and then forming it into a sculpture, which is a sort of mimicking the creative process, but in a much speeded up way. So that's it. But it's, you know, I mean, actually making this stuff is really exciting. It's good fun.
It's very fascinating watching the process while looking at the pieces right in front of you.
Yeah.
So how long is this exhibit open?
It's actually open till the end of September.
Okay.
It's got a good long run.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, those are all my questions. Thank you, Danny, so much.
Thanks for talking to me.
Yeah. Lastly, I want to give a special thank you to the staff at the Science Gallery at Trinity College, as well as the artists Luis Manifold and Danny Osborne. For more information on Life at the Edges, visit www.dublin.sciencegallery.com. And Life at the Edges is open from June 22nd, 2018 until September 30th of 2018.